Guys, Mr. Aaron here, and I wanted to go quickly through and over the lesson for this Sunday and just kind of give you some backstory about the story of Joseph. And we're going to be flying quickly because, man, the story of Joseph covers so much. But I think it can be summed up in two themes, and that is God's sovereignty and God's providence, and ultimately that God has a greater purpose that is taking place. And in the verse of this is chapter 50, verse 19 through 21, it says this. It says, "But Joseph said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for am I in God's place?'" So Joseph already recognizes that he is not God. And so God is above him, has plans that are greater than his ways are higher than his. And says, "As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to bring about this present result, to preserve many people alive. So therefore, do not be afraid. I will provide for you and your little ones." So he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. The life of Joseph kind of shows us, and it continues actually the promise that God was fulfilling in that he had made to Abraham. And so what we see through the life of Joseph is that God keeps his promises, even though things seem crazy around us. And so Joseph's born into a family that is supposed to be the family that's revealing God to all the people. And if you read about this family, you start to realize that there is brokenness and depravity just spread throughout it. Right. And so Jacob has two wives that are in competition with one another. And he has a favorite wife, and from his favorite wife comes his favorite son, Joseph. And because of this and because of his elevation within his own family, he's given a coat of many colors. He's sent to spy on his brothers for his dad. The brothers really ultimately start to have a disdain against him. And so ultimately it leads up to Jacob having this dream that God has put in his mind that everybody will be bowing down to him and his family, and not only his brothers, but his parents too. And his brothers don't take real well to that. So they had to plan to get rid of Joseph, and Joseph's ultimately sold into slavery and sent into Egypt. While in Egypt, he finds himself in the house of Potiphar. And in Potiphar's home, Joseph once again is elevated to a position. But we start to see that there's this theme with Joseph, is that he finds favor with certain people, and God has favor over him. But then we also see that there's this skill in leadership that leads to trust that God has ultimately put in Joseph for this greater purpose that is taking place. And while in Potiphar's home, he's leading so well that he's put over in charge of Potiphar's household, and his Potiphar's wife takes notice of Joseph and says that Joseph is attractive. And so she takes notice of him, tries to get him to lie with him. He refuses, and refuses and refuses, and ultimately finds himself by himself with her one day, and she is trying to get him to lie with her. He refuses and runs away, but she snags his tunic. And so she takes that tunic and tells everyone that Joseph had tried to lie with her and that she resisted. And even in this moment, as things were finally going good for Joseph, and he's being thrown into prison, we see that there's some kind of favor and trust there, because Potiphar would be well within his rights in that day in Egypt to have corporal punishment bestowed upon Joseph and have him executed. And so somehow, which has to be God, he found favor with Potiphar and trust in that he is thrown into prison. And while in prison, his leadership skills get on display again, and he's put over all the prisoners. And just so happens, he's put into a place where he has access to the prisoners that come from Pharaoh's household if they are enslaved or even caught doing something incorrectly. And so there's these two that come down. There's this cupbearer and this cook that come into a place that Joseph is over, and Joseph is able to talk to them, and they have these dreams, and Joseph interprets these dreams and tells the cupbearer that he will be elevated and back, restored back into his position, and that the cook would ultimately be executed. And so, but he tells the cupbearer, hey, when you're restored, remember me. And so the cupbearer gets restored as Joseph foretold, and it's 2 years before the cupbearer remembers Joseph. And he remembers Joseph because Pharaoh has a dream. And he remembers that Joseph can interpret dreams, and Pharaoh is having trouble with anybody being able to interpret this dream. And ultimately they send for Joseph, and Joseph tells the Pharaoh that his dreams means that there's going to be 7 years of prosperity, and then there's going to be 7 years of famine. And so when Pharaoh hears this, he puts Joseph over everything to get the kingdom prepared for it. And so Joseph also once again finds favor, once again has immense, lives trustworthy, and is given trust, and he's put over the ongoings in Egypt to prepare for this famine. And see, the famine gets so bad that in Genesis 41, 57, it says that the people of all the earth came to Egypt to buy grain from Joseph because the famine was severe in all the earth. All over the earth, it had gotten bad. And so Jacob's family, you know, Joseph's family, had experienced the famine also, and they were in need of rescue, and so in need of grain and food and whatnot. And so they head to Egypt. He sends his sons to Egypt, and they come before Joseph there. And Joseph, ultimately, we see this kind of back and forth in which Joseph leads his family to coming to Egypt. And see, Jacob finds out that Joseph is alive. And when Jacob finds out Joseph is alive, him, God actually speaks to Jacob. And he reminds him of something. Helps him to know that there's this bigger story that's taking place, that it's not all about him. It's not all about what is going on in their family, but that God has a bigger plan. Even though their family is a hot mess, even though their family has had brothers kill someone, has had adulterous wives and sons with even their, like, there is an immense amount of trouble in this family. But even though the depravity of this family is just so much, that God continues to tell him, like, hey, I have a promise that I've made to you. So in Genesis 46:3, it says this. It says, he said, I am God, the God of your father. Do not be afraid to go down to Egypt, for I will make you a great nation there. I will go down with you to Egypt, and I will also surely bring you up again, and Joseph will close your eyes. He ultimately says, hey, I am restoring your family, and listen, I have this promise that I have that's taking place in your family. Even when you don't know what's going on, it's this promise that I made to you. And while you have all this taking place, I am sovereign over it. And it's ultimately leading for my great purpose. And so Jacob heads to Egypt. And it says in chapter 50 that Jacob dies in Egypt. And just like he promised Jacob, Joseph is there and says this. Then Joseph fell on his father's face and wept over him and kissed him. Joseph commanded his servants, the physicians, to embalm his father's. So the physicians embalmed Israel. And so we see that Joseph carries out this lifestyle of trustworthiness no matter what position he's in. And ultimately, it's because I think that Joseph understood God's sovereignty over everything, and he understood God's providence over his life. And so what's really cool is when you look at the life of Joseph and you go from Abraham to where Joseph is, you just see this consistency in the character and the mightiness of God. And that's what's really cool is all this stuff is taking place, but God doesn't shift. I think Joseph knew that. And Joseph realizes, hey, I am not God. And that's what he ultimately says when we say that chapter 50, verse 19 through 21 sums it up and says, but Joseph said to them, do not be afraid, for I am not in God's place. Like, I am not the one that can say what has happened is bad. I am not the one that gives judgment. God is who he is. His ways are higher than my ways, not understandable by man. I think Joseph knew that before Isaiah said it, right? And so it says, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to bring about the present result. And ultimately, the present result is that God is doing something greater. There is a bigger picture that is taking place in his restoration story. And so Jacob, Joseph, and ultimately it will lead to Moses. Moses leading the Exodus. Exodus leading to the people to the promised land, the fulfillment of Abraham's promise. And then that leading to the Messiah, who leads to redemption. And ultimately leads to restoration. It's all a part of God's greater plan that is taking place. This story, we're going to be flying through it pretty quickly. But this story is really important to our lives. To know that no matter what goes on, that God has it all in his control. And if we are a follower of him, if we know him, then we can trust that it is that he's taking care of us for his good. Thank you guys, man. I can't wait to see you Sunday. Hopefully this was beneficial for you guys. See y'all tomorrow.